What's up, everybody? Happy fucking Monday. How the hell are you guys doing? Weekend's over. I hope you all enjoyed it. We didn't have a crazy week of craziness, so that's kind of good. The only thing that did happen was something that we all knew was going to happen. Amber Heard's fucking guilty. Fuck that bitch. But other than that, we're all good. So coming out of the weekend strong, we're going to head into this week with a positive attitude. No one's going to die. No one's going to mass murder anybody. And we're going to be happy, smiling people. We're going to REM this bitch. Does that everybody sound good with that? I think that sounds good to me. So let's just go ahead and get this fucking episode started, shall we? In life and in music, there is always a dark side. Whether the truth is something you don't want to tell or something somebody doesn't want to hear. These are those stories. The Black Rose Media proudly presents The Dark Side of Music. Blackout is gone. And welcome everybody to The Dark Side of Music. I am the great and powerful King of Kings, Emperor of all that is awesome, Derek. How the hell are you doing today on this beautiful June 6th of the year that is 2020 part 2 66. You know, yesterday would have been my my like 13th 14th year wedding anniversary. So that's over. Escape that one. So to my ex-wife, not happy anniversary. You don't listen to the show anyway, so whatever, fuck you. Anyway, happy fucking Monday, guys. Happy to a brand new week of shows. Again, I'm trying to keep it happy, light, and wholehearted here. I got pretty dark last week with everything that was going on, and tried to keep my head above the clouds, but you know, it's been difficult. And we're all trying to survive. We're all trying to move forward. We're trying to, you know, get this shit together. But we got a great summer to look forward to with lots and lots of fucking music coming out of it, including my fucking favorite festival of the year, Blue Ridge Rock Fest, which is coming up September 8th through 11th at Virginia International Speedway. And tonight I have a band that's going to be there and they're going to be fucking rocking out. They have a bunch of other stuff going on this summer, but we'll talk about all that and more once we get back from playing one of their biggest fucking hits. So here is Dynamite by Any Given Sin.
Everything going wrong. Nothing as it seemed was ever meant to be. And I had the world, I held it in my hand, turned it to the ground just to watch it land. Failure is an open book, and I'm the one that took a second look. I got the motivation, lock on the situation. I'm like a rocket on the ground. You blow me up like dynamite. Hold me up to see the light. 'Cause I need a second chance. I run my circumstance. My head is spinning in the clouds. My feet are on the ground. I took my line and drew it in the sand. Lost my way to the promised land. And I've been crossed up like an intersection. No destination.
And that was Any Given Sin with Dynamite, who hits the road June 3rd with Shaman's Harvest and Crobot. And again, plays Blue Ridge Rock Fest in September. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the band Any Given Sin. What's up, gentlemen? How the hell are you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Doing good, man. How are you?
You know what? I am doing great. I was getting into the song. I was grooving. I was having a good old time. And after the week and day that, you know, most people have had over the last few weeks, it's nice to just listen to a good song and, you know, kind of relate to it and understand where it's coming from and really kind of take our mind out of the everyday bullshit and just kind of focus on the here and now. And that is definitely one of the songs that does that for me.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
So how you guys been? How's things going?
Busy.
Very busy. You guys, well, this is going out on Monday, but you guys are just hitting the road with Shaman's Harvest and fucking Crobot. That's going to be a fucking great show for the month of June. Kicked off on this past Friday in New Hampshire. And then Saturday, you were in New York. And today, actually, tonight, you're in Nashville, Tennessee, and then Columbus, Ohio, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Joliet, Illinois, and then Moline, Illinois, West Virginia, and then wrapping it up, actually, not West Virginia, Wyoming, and then wrapping up in Colorado. It's a pretty nice little tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize we were playing that. I just packed for 3 days. What happened?
I really should. You're talking about 2 weeks. I got to play how many shows in 2 weeks? Yeah, it looks like, just about 14 shows in 14 days, man. You guys are just killing it out there.
Or it's killing us.
I'm sure it is. But, you know, I mean, after nearly 2 years of sitting on our asses and not doing much, you know, this year has just been jam-packed. I mean, going into the end of last year, it was definitely a lot going on. I mean, you had almost every festival crammed into the last half of the year. And now this year, we're kind of back to normal. I mean, we just came out of Welcome to Rockville 2 weeks ago. We got Rocklahoma coming up soon. We've got Rockfest in Wisconsin. We got Blue Ridge. We got, you know, Louder Than Life, Incarceration. We got all these things coming up, and it feels like we're back to normal. But then on top of that, festival, conference, concert and tour after tour. It's making my head spin, but at the same time, it's just because we missed it for so long. Absolutely. What's it feel like to finally be out of the rut and be back on the road again, you know, getting back out there in front of your fans finally?
That's fun. It's great. The last tour we did was a Steel Panther, and we had such a good time.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. Those guys are so awesome.
They truly are. They're fucking a riot. Michael Starr, man, that guy. Whew. To live 24 hours in that man's shoes, most men would die.
I almost died just being near his shoes.
Yeah, I mean, God, that guy is just full of energy and life and just who knows what else. That tour must have been fucking great. But this one's going to be even better, in my opinion. I mean, Shaman's Harvest and Crobot are two of some of the biggest acts out there today. And, you know, one of the things that I've loved about all three of you guys is the fact that you guys weren't, you know, scooped up by a major record label and then millions and millions of dollars pushed to, you know, terrestrial radio and this and that in order to find a, you know, to and cram us down your throats. I mean, cram you down our throats. And all three of you guys are in that same boat. You guys were organic as shit. And thanks to places like, you know, SiriusXM Octane and other places like that, you know, it was organic. You know, Jose was like, holy shit, this guys are fucking great. Same thing with, like, you know, Saul and all these other bands that have kind of come up in the last few years. And I love that because that means that there's still true fandom out there, and it's like, oh, a band that has this grassroots project can still make it. And I love that. And regardless of what your definition of making it is, you know, going on a 30-day or even a 21-day tour throughout the, you know, country, you know, throughout most of the country, and then hitting lighting festivals and, you know, all these other things, that's as making it as you're going to get these days in most cases. So, you know what, that's the definition of making it. So I love that you guys are part of that grassroots, you know, thing that's really kind of coming out there. And it, you guys are really an example for what bands can look forward to in today's music out, you know, the landscape of land, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. It's been a ride, like, trying to do it organically. We don't know what we're doing, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, the stars kind of aligned a bit. Like, as you said, like Sirius XM has been probably the biggest, one of the biggest reasons for a lot of new bands to get pro, honestly. Like, they're really awesome with doing that, with picking up new people and giving them a shot. So without them, like, there's a lot of people that I think wouldn't be doing what we're doing today. Yeah.
We'd still be playing at local bars if it wasn't for them, I'm sure.
Yeah. And that's the best part about it. Cause again, it just shows that there's that possibility out there today. And, you know, it's just, there's so much good music out there. You know, in 2 years of me doing this show and over 400 bands that I've talked to, I still haven't even scratched the surface of what's out there. And it's just more and more all the time. And it's just like, I love promoting festivals because you never know what that next band is going to be next year. And it could be one of these smaller acts that you've never heard of before at one of these festivals. And all of a sudden now they're on a national tour with, you know, such and such. An example that I've used a bunch from like last year is there was a band from Blue Ridge Rock Fest named Redefined. And they killed it. Texas Hippie Coalition was at the festival. And they were like, damn, we want to take these guys on the fucking road. And then they did. Awesome. That kind of stuff happens at these festivals. And so whether it's a grassroots project like, you know, Sirius XM taking on your back, or you guys being at the festival and saying, hey, I fucking love them, we're taking them on the road next week. That kind of stuff can happen. And you guys are just, again, a part of that shining example of what's possible. So, you know, for everything that's happened for you guys in the last few years, you guys just deserve it. And I think it's quite awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Seriously, appreciate that.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic and especially, and now the last 6 months, so literally the last 2.5 years of our existence has been filled with nonstop bullshit, whether it's COVID, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's, you know, LGBTQ stuff, whether it's this or that, now Russia and, you know, school shootings. I mean, fucking, it's out of control. The shit that has gone down in the last literally 27, 28 months. And, you know, that's younger than my daughter, and she's seen more stuff in her lifetime than I ever fathomed in the 24, you know, 28 months that she's been alive. Cause she was born right at the beginning of the pandemic. And now it's just like, wow, what the hell? How have you guys, you know, taken, if you have it all, or just kind of, you flushed it down and said, fuck it, we're going to just be us, taken, you know, the world and put it into your music in order to, put out the message of, hey, of hope, or we're in pain too, or whatever the case might be. How have you guys used the situations that we're having in your music? Or have you just said, fuck it, you know, we're just continuing to be ourselves because we don't want to focus on that? What exactly has this done for you guys as a band?
I'd say for the most part, it's like, we try to focus on general things that we all go through, like when we write, especially, but like you said, a lot's happened, and we've got some new songs that's going to be on our next album here that do touch on some of those things. They're kind of general. They're not exceptionally
blatantly obvious.
Right. So it's we want to touch on it. We want to talk about the thing, but we try not to come to like some right wing, left wing, anything like that. What's the human side of this thing? And let's just talk about that and try to be friends, everybody. You know?
Yeah. And I like that because in some cases, you know, you've got to be vague. Right. Because, you know, and you've got to understand that you've got fans on both sides of the fence most times. I know I do. And a lot of times I play right in the middle, but at the same time, a lot of my stuff I have is left-leaning. But at the same time, I have some stuff that's right-leaning. So people get very confused by my political standpoints. But at the same time, I like to be a voice for everybody. And I can put myself out there and, you know, risk being canceled when you guys can't really. So I definitely understand that. But then at the same time, you've got people like I've had them on my show and I have no problem, you know, talking shit about it because I did the same thing on the episode. You know, people like Tommy Vexed, who is hard. You know, I love the man. I really do. I had him on my show for 3 hours. I had to split it up into 2 separate episodes. It was so much content. And the dude is nuts. I told him that. I go, dude, you're nuts. You know, but I understand where you're coming from. You see things your way. I see things my way. But at the end of the day, can you and I agree to disagree, shake hands, and go drink a beer? He said no, because I don't drink anymore. But the point is, he can still go out and do that kind of stuff. He wants to be able to do that. So regardless of whether or not he agrees with you, he wants to be able to at least understand you, which I like that. But I don't feel there's enough of that. But at the same time, the way he goes about it, and I told him it's the same way. If you go into his Instagram, you're going to think he's so hardcore that he's not going to agree with anyone who doesn't agree with him. And as a musician, an actor, a poet, whatever, I think that that's a hard line that you shouldn't cross. You need to be supportive of everything to an degree, and also not so much at the same time. You kind of need to remain neutral, but at the same time, you want people to know that you're being real and true to yourself. It's a tough spot to be in. I can't imagine sometimes especially being a mid-card level band like yourselves who's trying to get to that, you know, that next level, what position that puts you guys in most of the time. It's got to be shitty.
Well, it could be like, if you want to say something, it could be a little weird if you're trying to not do that as far as the band goes. But I don't think most of us, we don't talk politics much. We don't, we just kind of keep it out of our lives. And, I've got right-wing friends, left-wing friends, libertarians, people that don't care one way or another. And I don't want to alienate anybody with anything I say, you know? So when it comes to the music, it comes to interacting with fans and on social media, we just kind of don't say anything about those sort of things.
I wish politics didn't exist.
You're not the only one. If it didn't exist, we wouldn't have half the fucking problems that we have. That's my opinion. And yeah, I agree with that. Because again, it could alienate somebody. It could alienate your biggest fan ever, you know, the band that's been with you since day one. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And I get that. So that's why, you know, I hate
I'll put it this way. It'll never scare us from saying what we want to say. But a lot of times we just don't care as much about saying something like that as we do making fans and continuing doing what we're doing and loving that. You know, we love that more than we want to say something controversial or you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or interpretive and battling with their turmoil and how you deal with it. And, you know, that's a lot of the songs are about that, because that's
where exactly
all four and deal with that.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to discuss, because that's one of the things that I have really gravitated towards you guys about is your, the way you write towards people with the mental illness or mental turmoil. And I want to talk a lot about that, because that is the centerpiece of this show. Yes, I do talk about politics and I do want to talk about other things, but at the end of the day, all those things that happen, whether it's LGBTQ, BLM, you know, school shootings, whatever, at the end of the day, all comes down to our mental health. And that above everything else matters more than everything else, more than anything. And so we're going to talk more about that here in a moment. But first, we're going to go ahead and play probably your biggest hit so far to date. So here is Insidious by Any Given Sin. Insidious by Any Given Sin. Let's go ahead and get the eyes back on and have more of this conversation. Welcome back, guys.
What's up?
Thank you.
So November 2nd of 2018, it was my ex-wife's birthday, or it was my current wife at the time, her birthday. And I was driving back from Fairfax, Virginia, to my house in Leesburg after I bought her a present. And about a week before, I got diagnosed as bipolar and got diagnosed also with generalized anxiety disorder. And I was put on meds and I was on my way home and from getting her present. And on the way home, I just got this overwhelming urge to just end it. Just say, fuck it. I was done. It kind of came out of nowhere. It wasn't like something I was pondering all day. It was literally just a, a thought that just kind of like overwhelmed me really, really fast and just encapsulated my entire thought process. And I was going to drive off a cliff. And for whatever reason, in that very moment, a song came on the radio that was anti-suicide. It was the song Ghost by Bad Flower. And it stopped me from dead in my tracks.
Love that song. Love it.
Me too. And that it stopped me dead in my tracks, made me pull over, you know, rethink everything. You know, I got my wife at home. I got my kids waiting for me. I've got this going on. It's her birthday of all things too. Why am I putting myself in this situation? Why am I putting my family in the situation? Called my wife, let her know what was going on. I called my doctor and, you know, everything just kind of ended up being okay. And that was that moment was the true moment to recovery and to this point. And in that moment, I realized something that I never truly understood. I always thought I did, but never truly understood. And that was the power of music, how truly important it is to my life and everyone's life, what it truly means to be a fan and understand what you guys are going through. And the fact that you guys are just as human as we are, because fans forget that a lot of the times. And that also in that moment, not only was that the road to recovery, but it was also the road to creating the show. Cause this whole show is based around that, letting people know that you're not alone in your daily struggles, letting, you know, talking real world things, talking, you know, how many other music shows talk about being bipolar and other things like that, or throw up the, you know, National Suicide Hotline, you know, number on the regular, not very many. And I take pride in that fact, because this is something that's really important to myself, you know, bands like August Burns Red, Bad Flower, Hailstorm, all these members of the rock and metal community, you know, need you just as much as I do and need you as well, because we're all a giant family. And without bands like yourselves that put that message out there and all the other bands I just mentioned, we wouldn't be here, because we need your music sometimes when we don't even realize it. And that is some of the most, you know, important things I like to put out there on a daily basis, is the fact that we're not alone. And there's always somebody to listen and just find it. And even if that is a song, you're listening to that, you know, whatever it is, find something to listen or find someone to listen. And if worst comes to worst, National Suicide Hotline. But at the same time, we need everybody. And it's bands like you that, you know, I really praise for that, because it's such an important cause. So thank you for that.
Definitely, man. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing it.
You know, I've been telling that story now for 2 years on this show, and it's gotten easier. And I even joke about it, but at the same time, it always just sits there and just kind of like, it sucks. Cause sometimes I still go back to that dark place. Last night I was in that dark place. I don't know what really kind of sparked it. It just kind of crept up out of nowhere. I was laying in bed and I say to myself, you know what? If I don't wake up tomorrow, I don't give a fuck. And when I did wake up this morning, I was a little upset. I was like, shit. But then as the day went on, I was like, no, 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 no. What is wrong with me? Stop thinking like that. And it's so important to just talk about those things. And for such a long time, and even still today, there's been this stigma around it about even just having a depressed day, not being bipolar or schizophrenic or any other diagnoses that are out there. Just, you know, someone who's just having a depressed time and just needs a little bit of help. There's such a stigma around it, especially for men, you know, that we're not allowed to be, you know, depressed or whatever the case might be. I mean, in the 90s, I was told that was for girls. You're not allowed to be depressed. You can't be depressed. That's for girls. That's what I was always told in the 90s growing up. And so, you know, it took me until I was literally 38 years old to get diagnosed, because I was thought I was better than it. And now it's so important. And I feel that our community, as the metal community goes, is the most outspoken about it. And it's such a privilege and an honor to see the things that are going on out there. And it's just amazing to watch. And again, it's bands like you that really kind of set the bar for other bands to really kind of come out and just talk about it.
awesome, dude. Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's important to us to talk about it. We, like Mike said, you know, we all suffer. We've all been through things. We and for a musician, writing the songs are like kind of the release as a fan maybe hearing it. Like, so you feel like you're talking to people when you write a song, and that gets it off your chest, and then you hope that it helps somebody else. Like you said, so we feel like you're not alone. So we feel like you have a sense of belonging, sense of community. So I think all this, I think it's a full circle, you know what I mean, for the musician and the fan and just anybody in the business. It's just a great community and a great thing to have in your life. I do.
And we still like to keep the songs interpretive enough to where not everybody's dealing with the same thing.
Yeah.
But you still keep the same feeling from it. So, and Vic being the majority of the lyrical content, we're still, before Vic joined the band, I wrote all the lyrics. Now Vic writes 90% of the lyrics, and it's still so in line with mine, but he's much better at making interpretive lyrics, where mine was like, it's okay, this is what the song's about. Box it up, put it by one, that's what it's about. And I really, really like that because it does resonate. And if you can pick any of the songs, especially Dynamite, when we came out, we really realized, at least I did, how many people resonated with that song it had, and they stapled it to whatever it was that was putting them in that dark place. And that's extremely important to us. We've all been through serious stuff. I've had a similar issue like what you had in this very room, on this very couch. Mm-hmm. And I've had to get prescription medication, whatever, and I've had to talk to people, and I don't think people should be ashamed to do that. It was much worse when you grew up in the 90s, I grew up in the 80s, and the stigma around it there, you think it's bad now. It was way worse then.
I mean, I grew up in the 80s as well. I mean, I'm 41, but I didn't really know what I was feeling until I was in my high school years, from 95 to 99, you know? So I can only imagine what it was like in the 80s before I even realized what it truly was.
I don't think anxiety was ever said. It was like, oh, you had a nervous breakdown, not panic. I never heard panic attack or anxiety attack until mm-hmm. I was,
wow, that's, you know, it's sad to think back about that kind of stuff too. You know, I mean, I've gone back and watched many movies, TV shows, and it was so, a lot of this stuff was so hidden from us back then. Like I remember, do you remember the show Life Goes On?
Yes.
With the son that had Down syndrome, Corky? Mm-hmm. So prior to that show, huh?
It was right around 1990, I think.
Somewhere around there. But I remember an episode because one of the kids on the show had AIDS, but he got it. He wasn't gay. He got it from a blood transfusion. But there was people. I remember the episode. This is the only episode I remember of this show, was this episode where he was going to an AIDS support group and there was these bigot assholes outside this, you know, that thinking everyone in there is gay because they all have AIDS. And when he came out, he got jumped and beat up and got put in the hospital. And that was like my first, so I was maybe 10 at the time, you know, being exposed to AIDS. Number one, we were all being exposed the first time around that same time, but then being talked about gay people and, you know, this other stuff. And like, it was like, in 1990, 1991, whatever year it was still looked down upon. And then even 10 years later and going into the year 2000, I can still go, you know, let me rephrase that. 5 years later, you know, 6 years later, you know, the first on-screen kiss for a female couple, which was not really anything, but it was Roseanne Barr and Susan Sarandon, I think it was, on a random episode of Roseanne. And everyone freaked out about it. And then, you know, 5 years later in 2000, it was still, you know, this timid subject. And, you know, whether it's mental health, you know, the LGBTQ stuff or whatever, we were so sheltered in the 80s and 90s. And so us as, you know, now people in their 30s and 40s, seeing this stuff come out, it's so profound that it's really, really nice. You know, I talk to my girlfriend about it all the time, and she's 10 years younger than me. She's 31. I'm 41. But you know, even the difference between the 80s and the 90s, where, you know, when she was growing up in the, you know, in the 2000s, you know, while she was in high school, when I was in the high school in the 90s, just the difference, it was, it's still amazing to me. And to know that we're still making, we still got a lot of work to do. It's scary.
For sure. No, absolutely. But at least it's getting done. Like it's, it used to be like Voldemort, you couldn't say his name. And now that you, at least we could say his name and know what he is, you know what I mean? And start learning how to fight him, get the right spells together and whatnot. But it's a lot of progress has been made, and I think the more this is a part of pop culture and music and all those things, like the easier it is for people that have trouble talking about it to swallow that and start doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, I think the fact that it's become more prevalent in the celebrity realm of things, whether it's a minor celebrity or a bigger celebrity, you know, it's become more open to talk about, not nearly as open as it needs to be still, but now that it's becoming more open, like, you know, I made a joke about the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing at the beginning of the show, but outside of Terry Crews, who, you know, during the, you know, the Me Too movement that came out and talked about his abuse and sexual abuse and other things like that, there hasn't been very many men that have come out, you know, talking about domestic violence. Johnny Depp is kind of the biggest outside of it. You know, I mentioned the Terry Crews thing and most people are like, oh, he was, you know, still don't know that, you know, that happened. So, you know, even stuff like that is still kind of, and then in the same respect during the trial, a lady, a staff writer for Vogue magazine came out and was like, they wrote this whole article about how we need to believe Amber Heard and Johnny Depp's a woman beater. Don't believe him, you know, believe Amber Heard. We got to, it's like, so are we just supposed to take her? Exactly. Like we have the proof. So we're just supposed to not believe the proof. And it's just like, we're supposed to ignore everything that we've seen and not just like, we're not talking about internet rumors. We're not talking about people on Twitter. We've been watching this trial like it was the fucking OJ Simpson trial, for God's sakes. It was the craziest shit ever. So we all heard the tapes. We saw the videos. We saw all this shit. We know it's, but yet you still want us to say, fuck it. Women are more abused than women. Men, I believe that. Yes, you're not wrong. But it doesn't mean that she's automatically right. And so there's just so much stigma. And it's, again, it's not just mental health. It's, you know, abuse and this and that. And it's just, it's sad to know that we're in 2022 and we still have, you know, more progress to make. We're always going to have progress to make no matter what, but just to see how far we've come in 20 years is not very far. I mean, we've barely reached the, you know, the 5 mile marker and we still got another couple hundreds of thousands of miles to go. And it's just sad.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think, like, not to get too far on like the current climate, but like pretty much everywhere right now doesn't have a great sense of like community or belonging or things like that. You know, when you turn on the news, you turn on anything, social media, everybody, it's not, hey guys, let's talk about how we can, you know, have a barbecue this weekend and all get along and have a nice time. It's you suck for whatever reason and you suck for whatever, you know, and all this kind of shit.
It's all very drama fed.
Yeah. That doesn't help anybody. My thing is that I think helps is foundational for our human beings is to have a sense of purpose and a sense of belonging to something. And if you can meet that, you're on the right track. But if everywhere you look is just isolation and aloneness, then you're in a bad spot. Who could blame anyone for feeling bad things, bad thoughts, dark thoughts, anything?
Yeah.
I think it's up to everybody, you know, to kind of not feed the beast. You know what I mean? Like, we've got to kind of starve that beast out, and that just being good to one another, you know, on basis, I think.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. It goes back to that thing I was talking about with Tommy Vext, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to be able to do that. You know, whether it's left-wing media, right-wing media, or even down the center, you know, type media that doesn't play favorites, the more we pay attention to that at all, okay, we're just creating more hate in general. And it's not positive in any which way, shape, or form. The liberals are wrong in the state in that way. The Republicans are wrong in that state. You know, everything is wrong when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it's not just right wing and left wing. It's just, it's, you know, the Christians versus this, and it's then this, and then versus that. And it's just that it's, there's always somebody versus somebody. Mm-hmm. Why does it have to be that way? But I can tell you what, and this is going to sound so cheesy, but I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it another 1,000 times because I firmly believe it. When we go into a festival, doesn't matter if it was Blue Ridge Rock Fest or, you know, Welcome to Rockville this past weekend or 2 weeks ago, excuse me. You won't see political bullshit. You really don't. Because they know that it's, they don't want to do that. Even in that moment, they're like, okay, I might be an asshole in my everyday life. No one's saying that, but you know, I don't want to start this at a festival where I'm going to want to just pay attention to the music, you know, and it's really nice when that kind of stuff happens. So, you know, I didn't see one thing happen at Rockville that made me go, man, why did that guy have to be like that? No, I didn't see that. Or when I was at Blue Ridge, I didn't see that last year. Or when I was at Asking Alexandria last week, didn't see that either. You know, I've seen so much anti that. And I love that. I mean, I've told the story before, but I was at an Of Mice and Men show a few years back. And inside the pit was this skinhead that had, you know, neo-Nazi and KKK and all this, you know, racist tattoos all over his body. And there was this big old black dude in there in the pit with him. And they were just beating the absolute shit out of each other. But at the end of it, they hugged and they went and bought each other a beer and they hung out the rest of the night. Now, I will say this again. I don't know if this guy was a reformed neo-Nazi and on his way to recovery or whatever the case might be, or if they were friends or whatever the case might be. I don't know the circumstances. All I know is what everyone else saw around the outside. It was what looked like a racist dude and somebody that he should hate hugging at the end of Mice and Men show and then going to drink a beer together. That is what metal is. That is what rock is. You don't see that at a rap show. You don't see even, you know, the rap community makes fun of how much, you know, shootings and fighting happens at rap shows. You know, at pop shows, it's all about, oh my God, he's so cute, gorgeous. They forget about why they're even there to begin with, you know. At country music shows, it's all about who can get the more drunk on natural light. You know, it's I'm playing on stereotypes, people. Do not at me. I'm just kidding. Jesus. you would not believe the hate I get for some of the things I say on this show, but I don't care. I think it's funny. but at the end of the day, you know, outside of, you know, Demi Lovato and a few other really prolific, you know, people on the pop side and the, you know, the rap side and stuff like that, there's not very many people that you can say talks about this type of stuff outside of rock and metal. But on this side, there's too many to mention. And that just goes to show you what kind of community we live in. And I think that is a fucking amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. I mean, rock music just kind of says, hey, man, we're all damaged goods. Come meet us near the stage. Party.
Yeah. It's angry music for happy people. You know, and sometimes we're damaged people or unhappy people or whatever the case might be. But at the end of the day, we're all happy. We know where what our community means to us. And it's like I said, it's bands like you that remind us how invaluable, you know, our community is. And it's just so important. And I truly appreciate everything you guys have done to this point. I can't wait to see you guys in September. It's too bad I'm not going to be around any of the shows that you guys are doing in June, but hey, you know, it is what it is. So new music, you guys just mentioned it. What's going on with the new music? This is the part of the show where I do ask those cheesy everyday questions, but I got to ask.
We just got back from the studio a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
We have more tracks to record before the album is done. There is tentative, I don't know what I can say, but, tentatively going to release a single, but it won't necessarily be full radio campaign in July.
Gotcha.
And then there will be another one whenever the album drops, and we really don't know exactly when that's going to be just yet.
if you guys still have more to, it's going to be at least the first of the year. So let's just say
that. Nobody releases albums that quarter for some reason. So.
Yeah. Say again.
Nobody releases albums the last quarter of the year for some reason.
So. No, no. That's why, like, everything that was released last year was released right before October of last year. And that was it. And then nothing happened after that. So, yeah. So hopefully first of the year, we'll get to see some new music from you guys, but hopefully you're not sure, you know, if it's accurate or not, but hopefully new single coming out in July. So, but either way, you guys got a lot of stuff going on and you guys have done some amazing shit and there's still plenty of your back catalog for us to rock out to. And, lots of other stuff to look forward to. So, again, tour kicks off. Well, this kicked off this past week in New Hampshire, and it goes all the way through June 21st, ending in Colorado. So definitely check that out there with Crobot and Shaman's Harvest. And then they will be at Blue Ridge Rock Fest September 8th through the 11th. Don't ask me what day yet, because that hasn't been announced, but it's coming soon. So hopefully we'll get more on that later. But headlined by a bunch of fucking great bands. So if you haven't got your tickets now, BlueRidgeRockFest.com for all your ticket needs at Virginia International Speedway. But guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. I truly appreciate it. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege.
Absolutely, man. Thank you very much. Too.
Thank you.
But we'll talk again soon, and we'll definitely catch up in September.
I like it. We'll see you there.
Peace. All right, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your night, and good luck on the rest of the tour.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right, guys, and that was Any Given Sin. Hope you all enjoyed that conversation. What a great fucking bunch of dudes. I love conversations like that. It just makes my fucking day. So y'all ready for the rest of the week? Y'all ready to get this party started? I know I am. So let's fucking do this shit. But guys, thank you so much for being here. We'll be back again tomorrow with the band. I'm not going to say. I think I have it confirmed, but it's really Thursday for me, or it's actually Wednesday for me. So I got to make sure that's confirmed before I let it go. But it's another amazing band from Blue Ridge Rock Fest. I just got to confirm it. But either way, you're going to. Nope, I'm sorry. Tomorrow I'll be back with the band Reed Effect, the Reed Effect. And then the other band that I might have. Most likely coming on will be on tomorrow. And then Thursday, we have the band We Demand Parachutes. So we got a full week ahead coming up and a bunch of other stuff going on, and we're not even done yet. So guys, come back again tomorrow for the band The Reed Effect. But until tomorrow, we're going to go out with one more song by the band Any Given Sin, their song The Way I Say Goodbye. But guys, this is The Way I Say Goodbye. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay fucking heavy. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Change.
telling you, maybe I'm weak, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was never the question at all. Maybe it's time.